Well, good morning.
Good
to see everyone here this morning. I didn't see any of you last week. What a week we had. We all got to experience and be part of a historical record. Becky was looking up and we found some of the local networks were saying that the snowfall we had a week ago last Sunday set a record for the second deepest snow that fell in a December. The last time was 110 years ago in 1908, and in December where 15 inches of snow fell in the Richmond area. This year, last week, they said that Richmond marked about 11.5 inches, while the greater Chesterfield area was 12.5 to 13. At our house, we had about 13. So it was kind of an interesting week, and I hope you all had a week, safe and a fun week enjoying the snow while it lasted. The rain came and washed it all away, or most of it. I was all prepared to talk to you this morning about a great hoard of Roman coins found in England, but that's what was supposed to happen this week, but now you have to wait till next Sunday morning. This morning, I'm going to share with you some studies out of Luke chapter 8 and Mark chapter 5, a lesson I've entitled, What Jairus' Daughter Saw in Her Father. And I'd invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 8, because we're going to be reading verses 40 through 56 as we look at this account. For parents, children are an enormous blessing. We recognize what the psalmist said in Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. They bring such joy that nothing can compare to it. As a single man thinking about one day having a family, I could have never imagined in my wildest dreams what it was like to actually have children. As Becky and I were expecting and talking about the different things and what life was going to be like and the changes that were going to need to be made, we had no idea, even with all the preparing and planning and reading that we could do to prepare for the children that we were blessed with. And I'm sure as other parents would share their same ideas and experiences, you would all have the same similar thoughts. No matter how prepared you were, nothing could compare to that life of joy with your children, watching them grow, watching them learn, watching them become independent, and watching them move away from many of you. When they're sick or suffering, it can bring such agonizing pain to the parents. We feel like if only we could do something that we could take that pain away, if only we could bear what they're going through, right? It can be agonizing to watch. For a parent, losing a child is one of the worst things that we can suffer. For those of you who have, you know the feeling. For those of you who have not, you can only imagine what that would be like. Parents would do anything. Parents would go to great lengths to protect their children, to keep them out of harm's way, to keep them safe. We're going to look at an account this morning that whether you are a parent or not, I hope that there is some benefit and encouragement we can get from the account of Jairus seeking Jesus out in Luke chapter 8. We're going to be reading starting in verse 40. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 40, it says, And as Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue. And he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him. The account of Jairus asking Jesus to heal his very sick 12-year-old daughter takes place here in these passages. Now there's an interruption that happens in verse 43. As Jesus goes to go with this man, to go visit his very sick and dying daughter, the crowd presses in around him, and a woman touches the hem of his garment. She had been bleeding for 12 years. She touches the hem of his garment just to get close enough to him and is healed. And Jesus stops to look around the crowd and say, Who touched me? And his disciples are saying, Lord, the crowds are pressed all in. How can you ask who touched me? But Jesus finds her. He points her right out. And she comes forward and she announces and talks with Jesus during this time period. What we find, Mark chapter 5, 25 to 26, Mark tells us that this poor woman had spent all that she had on doctors, and she had only grown worse. Dr. Luke In Colossians 4:14, he's called the beloved physician. Luke in Luke chapter 8 tells us in verse 43, she could not be healed by anyone. She was out of the realm of physicians at that time. Nobody could heal her. She had spent her life savings. But we're going to focus on the account with Jairus on either side of this woman that was healed. This is an amazing account as well, and an entire lesson can be devoted to talking about her need to touch Jesus and how we need to have that same need to touch Jesus, to be healed of our sin, to have our, by His stripes, have our sins washed away. But we're going to talk about the other side of this. This account takes place in Capernaum. It says, and as Jesus returned, if you go back into the text and look, you'll find He was in the area of the Gadarenes or the Gesserines, and He had returned to Capernaum. It's interesting, if you look in the Matthew account, Matthew 9:1 says, He came to His own city. Now that's not Nazareth. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 says people referred to Jesus' home as Capernaum. In Matthew 4 and verse 13, it says He left Nazareth and lived in Capernaum. So Jesus had settled in Capernaum. He had left His mother's house and He was dwelling in Capernaum. And so when He returned, in verse 40 is referring to when He came out of the land of the Gadarenes. And remember why? The pigs, the demons were driven into the pigs. They went into the ocean and the people begged Him to leave their area. So he acquiesced and He left their area. So verse 40 says, and as He returned, the people welcomed Him, for they had been waiting for Him. So He's now returned to Capernaum. But we're going to focus on the other end of the account of the woman with the issue that she had spent her life savings on being healed and came in contact with Jesus. So we pick up with our story with Jairus back in verse 49. It says, while He was still speaking to the woman He healed. It says, while He was still speaking. So He's still talking to the lady that had touched Him. It says, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. It's too late. The deed is done. There's nothing more that can be done. But when Jesus heard this, He answered him, do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she will be made well. You have to imagine, this man went seeking Jesus for a reason. He didn't go to a doctor. He went to a teacher saying, I need you to come to my house. He knew what Jesus could do. Whether or not he knew who Jesus was, he knew what he could do, and that he was the only one. And now he's told, don't bother him anymore, it's too late. Jesus said, only believe, and she'll be made well. When he came to the house, that means the man continued that invitation. He believed in him. When he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. Now they were all weeping and lamenting for her, but he said, stop weeping, for she's not died, but is asleep. They began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. He, however, took her by the hand and called, saying, child, arise. And her spirit returned, and she got up immediately. And he gave orders for something to be given her to eat. Her parents were amazed. But he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. You know, whether we're fathers or mothers or not, hopefully as we read through this account, we can see that there's qualities in Jairus that are qualities we all need in our lives. And more than that, for those of us that are parents, they're qualities that we need in our lives that our children see in our lives. What did Jairus' daughter see in her father? That's the question before us this morning, and that's what we're going to spend some time answering. Excuse me. What did Jairus' daughter see in her father? We're not given her name. We don't know who she is. But yet, this is a key event. One of the rare times Jesus raised someone from the dead. And yet we can see that he didn't even need to go to the house. He could have just spoke it from the street. But yet he went into Jairus' home. One of the things, the first things that when she comes alive and is going to be made well, she's going to see and recognize her father's love for her, his great love for her. Notice what it said there in verse 41. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue. He was an official of the synagogue. The word that's used here in Luke chapter 8 is a Greek word that means as archon. It's Strong 758, 758, and it means first in rank or power, chief, prince, or ruler. So he is the first in rank of the synagogue. He's the chief or the ruler of the synagogue. From history, we know that the synagogue officials were responsible for maintaining the facility. Thank you so much. They were in charge of maintaining the synagogue. They were in charge of the orderly service. They were in charge of who got to read, and they had to keep track of everyone's ancestry so they knew who was reading and who was reading from what. We can read of Jesus being in different synagogues and kind of see how the synagogue rulers interacted with Jesus. There's an account in Luke chapter 4 when he goes to Nazareth. And he enters into his hometown and he goes to the synagogue. And the synagogue ruler, or the chief of the synagogue, told him, allowed him to read. He was able to read. He got up, he turned to Isaiah, he read from Isaiah, and he said to the people, "This prophecy has been fulfilled this day in your hearing." And he shut the book and sat down. And it caused quite a stir in that synagogue. And so we can read of Jesus coming in contact with different synagogue rulers. We know that the synagogue ruler was responsible for whatever happened in a synagogue, whether it was orderly or not. Jairus was, therefore, a religious official, a respected leader in his community. He was serving in a position of great influence. The Mark 5 account, if we were to turn to Mark 5 and verse 22, it doesn't use the word archon. He uses a different word. It uses the word archis synagogos. It kind of tells us that you can recognize the ark from archon and synagogos or gogos from synagogue, where we get the word synagogue from. It means director of the synagogue, chief ruler of the synagogue. That's the word that Mark 5 uses to describe Jairus. So Jairus was an official of the synagogue. He was in charge of the synagogue here in Capernaum. We also see that Jairus had an only daughter who was very sick and dying. The Mark account, Mark 5, tells us she was sick to the point of death. If we were to look in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18, when Jairus comes to Jesus, it's a little different. It's very truncated. Matthew just sums up the account. By the time he comes to the account in Matthew, Matthew 9:18 says, "My daughter has just died." I was looking in the Greek, and the Greek actually means she could die at any moment, is the word that he's using. So she hadn't died yet, but it was so serious that she could die at any moment. And we do see that happen. Before Jesus gets there, they come and tell him, "Don't trouble the teacher anymore. It's too late." So Matthew sums up the account of the events, showing us how sick the little girl was. As parents, we know that our little children have a way of getting sick all the time. We're always dealing with sniffles, with fevers, ear infections. And in our household, we've commonly said, as a family, we just share everything. The situation here has become very serious. The situation here is a lot has escalated from the regular sniffles, fevers, and ear infections. Mark 5:23 says this man's 12-year-old daughter is at the point of death. What this is saying is this is a scenario. This is something that cannot be fixed with a kiss on the forehead. This was not a situation where she just needed to stay home from school for a few days and rest. But she was quickly losing the battle with this illness. She was quickly losing this battle, and death was at the door. And this man, this ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet. He was a father willing to do anything for his daughter. This respected leader falls at the feet of Jesus in front of this large crowd, and he begs Jesus to come to his house to heal his only daughter. If we were to look in the Mark 5:22 account from the New King James Version, it says he begged him earnestly. The idea here is this isn't just a request. "Jesus, I have a sick daughter. Would you come and take a look at her?" It says he begged him earnestly. He was not going to take no for an answer. Have you ever done anything earnestly? You didn't stop. It was something that you went at full throttle. That's what this man was doing in asking Jesus to come. The interesting thing about this, if identifying this man as a ruler of the synagogue, is the religious leaders from this area of Capernaum had already had some serious run-ins with Jesus. He healed a paralyzed man by saying to him, "Your sins are forgiven," in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. In fact, we can go before this and go to Mark chapter 1, 21 to 28, and find that Jesus in the synagogue cast a demon out of a man in the synagogue, and the people were amazed, and news of him began spreading. Perhaps the ruler of the synagogue was present there, and chances are he was, to see that happen. That was in Capernaum. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2, he healed a paralyzed man saying, "Your sins are forgiven." And he was accused of blasphemy on that occasion. And he said, "I say it so that you might know that I have the power to forgive sins on earth as well as heal disease." And then he told the man, "Get up and walk and take your pallet and go home." Then Matthew, also called Levi, was called as an apostle as he sat in the tax booth. He was on his job when Jesus said, "Follow me." He left everything to follow Jesus. But he throws a party for Jesus in his honor at his house. We find this in Luke chapter 5, 29 to 30. And it caused the religious leaders then to accuse Jesus of eating and drinking with sinners. Jairus was a religious leader of Capernaum as a ruler of the synagogue. So when Jairus fought his way through hundreds, if not thousands of people, to bow down at the feet of Jesus, to beg him earnestly to come to his house, to tend to his very sick daughter at the point of death, this was a big deal. This was a big deal for that area. For a religious leader to cast himself down at the foot of Jesus and beg him to come to his house in front of all these people. You see, this man, Jairus, was a father willing to do anything for his daughter. All his power, all his influence, all melted away at the thought of losing his only daughter. All of it didn't matter. His pride, none of it mattered when it came to saving his daughter. And parents, wouldn't we agree that would happen to us? If we had one chance to save our child from dying, would we, and we had it in our ability to do it, would we not take it? Jairus did so, falling at the feet of Jesus, who had already been accused of blasphemy for eating and drinking with sinners. And he falls at his feet, begging him earnestly to come to his house. What Jairus' daughter was going to see in her father was a man who loved her enough that he was willing to do anything, anything to make sure Jesus came and met her face to face. Jairus' daughter would see her father's faith in Jesus. She would see her father, the ruler of the synagogue's faith, placed in this man. A man that other religious leaders mocked and ridiculed, who came in conflict with. But she's going to see in her father his faith in Jesus. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid any longer," in Luke 8, verse 50. "Only believe, and she will be made well." He didn't say, "No, it's too late. We're done." He continued that invitation, and Jesus came into his house. Jairus had faith that Jesus could heal his little girl. After Jesus stopped to heal the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, Jairus' servants came to tell him not to trouble Jesus any further. It was that punch in the gut moment. It's too late. Your daughter has died. Don't trouble him anymore. It's too late to get the healer to come and heal. It's not a healing at this point. It would take a resurrection. Healing is one thing, but this became a completely different matter altogether. And Jesus is asking this man who had begged him to come to his house not to lose faith in him. Just because his daughter had died, he's asking him, "Don't just have faith in me that I can heal." He said, "Believe, and she will be made well." He's asking his faith to go a little further than a healing. Have a little more faith, have a little more belief in me. And Jairus had faith that Jesus could heal and even resurrect his little girl. Jesus offered hope and assurance. We know from other accounts that Jesus could heal with a word, that he didn't need to go to Jairus' house. Matthew 8, verse 8 and verse 13, when the centurion came to Jesus. The centurion had a servant or a slave who was also sick to the point of death. And he came to Jesus, or he sent people to Jesus saying, "I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Just say the word and it'll be done. I'm a man of authority. I know the chain of command. Just say it." And Jesus said, "Greater faith in all Israel I have not found." And he said, "Go, your servant is made well." Jesus didn't have to go into the home. He spoke it, and that man who was at the point of death was also healed. Jesus could have done that. In John chapter 4, verse 47 and verse 50, when the royal from Capernaum, the royal son, was in danger of death, and he traveled about 18 to 20 miles to come see Jesus. Jesus spoke the word. He didn't travel back with that man. He spoke the word, and that man found out when his son was healed. Jesus could have said the word. Why didn't he just heal her in Luke 8 and verse 42? Before the interruption with the woman on the way. Before the servants came saying, "Don't trouble him anymore. It's too late." Why did he wait to be delayed? Why did he wait till the little girl had died? You can imagine Jairus hurrying home ahead of Jesus. Come with me, because Jesus said, "I'll go." And you can almost imagine him when the event happened with the other woman. When Jesus stops to point her out in the crowd, "Who touched me?" Of Jairus saying, "Oh, come on, she's been sick for 12 years. My little girl's about to die." You can almost hear, you can almost imagine the hurry and the urgency in Jairus' voice. "Come with me." And then it's too late. His servants say, "Don't trouble him anymore. It's done. She's died." But Jesus had something better than healing in mind for this man. Jairus had faith in Jesus to raise his daughter. He believed in him that he could heal her. And Jesus asked him to have faith in him to do something even better than that. And Jairus continued to invite him into his home and invite him into the room where his little girl was laid. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 50, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she will be made well." Jairus had a choice to make at this point. To do as the messenger said and trouble him no further, or to have that faith in Jesus to go a little further than knowing that he could heal her. To follow Jesus just a little further as he asked. You know, sometimes in life we have to follow Jesus just a little further than we might have intended to. Right? Sometimes Jesus has asked of us to do things that we're uncomfortable with. Sometimes we need to read and find that Jesus tells us not to be afraid. To follow him all the way. That's what Jesus is asking Jairus to do. "Have faith in me, and she'll be made well." Jairus had that faith in Jesus to raise his daughter. Jairus decided to trust in the words of Jesus and to believe. And Jairus became an example of faith, trusting in the Lord's words, to follow him as Jesus said, "Follow me just a little further. Have faith, and your little girl will be made well." So she saw in her father his great love for her. She saw in her father his faith in Jesus at a time when religious leaders wanted to test him and try to trap him and to mock him and to scorn him and to accuse him. She saw her father's faith in Jesus. Not just that he was a great teacher and could heal her, but faith enough that he could raise her. That's the kind of faith she would have seen in her father. And she saw her father amazed. Parents, our children need to see us be amazed at what God does for our families. Our children need to see our love and our faith for sure, but they need to see us amazed at God and to give him the glory for what he has done. Jairus' daughter would have seen her father amazed at what God had done. In Luke 8, 51 to 56, when he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. So 6 people total in the little girl's room. Jesus and 5 witnesses. And as we continue reading in verse 52, "Now they were all weeping and lamenting for her, but he said, 'Stop weeping, for she's not died, but is asleep.' And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. He, however, took her by the hand and called, saying, 'Child, arise.' And her spirit returned, and she got up immediately. And he gave orders for something to be given her to eat. Her parents were amazed, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened." How well do you think that was going to be kept? All those people downstairs, mourning and lamenting, to see the little girl come downstairs to get something to eat. That was going to be hard to keep secret. But Jairus invited the Lord into his home of weeping and mourning. A large crowd was gathered there. I want you to look over, place a marker there in Luke 8. I want you to look over with me in the Matthew 9 account of this, to kind of get a fuller picture of what Jesus walked into. And this was a tradition and custom among Jews, and not just the Jews only, but many of the ancient peoples of the East. Funerals were a big deal. There are places where we can look in the prophets where God was telling them they were going to have to pay mourners to come and weep for Jerusalem at the time of her visitation by the Babylonians. There was a custom that at a funeral, if there were not enough mourners, you could pay more. There are professional mourners. You would pay mourners to come and they would weep and wail and make a big deal over your loved one and mourn for them. I don't know if that was happening here, but Matthew details the type of account that was happening. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 23, Matthew 9, verse 23, when Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder. So he found it in noisy disorder. There was a great deal of noise happening. They were playing the flute, it says, and they were making all kinds of noise. And he said, "Leave, for the girl has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him. But when the crowd had been sent out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. Jesus knew how to quiet a crowd, didn't he? He told them to stop weeping. The time for mourning was over. When Jesus entered this house of mourning, he was going to turn it into a house of celebration. He was going to take a scenario that was filled with weeping and mourning, and even though it turns to laughter, that laughter is going to become laughter of great celebration as they rejoice with this parent, this girl's mother and father. Jesus refers to the girl as being asleep, and their crowd's weeping turned to laughter. But Jairus invited Jesus to his daughter's room. And he takes five witnesses, Peter, James, and John, Jairus, and his wife. He shuts everyone else out. And it doesn't say why, but I believe he does because they all laughed. They didn't believe in him. But he took the ones that did. He took the girl's parents. Jairus had believed in him and brought him into his house and brought him into his little girl's room where she was laid. And he brought Peter, James, and John with him. He takes the little girl by the hand and he says, "Child, arise." This is such a memorable occasion that Mark records the Aramaic that Jesus actually used. Look over with me in Mark chapter 5 and verse 41 as we read from that account. This becomes such a memorable thing that when Mark records it, he tells us Jesus' exact words in the Aramaic, the word that Jesus spoke to the little girl. In verse 41, taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Talitha kum. When Jesus came into the little girl's room, he didn't use fancy words. He didn't say abracadabra. He didn't speak in Greek. That's the language of commerce. He didn't speak in Hebrew, the language of the synagogue. But he used the Aramaic that the common people used. Talitha kum. "Little girl, I say to you, arise." You know, how many times do we see on TV, or you can see if you were to attend one of their healing revivals, where these faith healers today wave their hands around and say all kinds of weird things. They may not say abracadabra, but they might as well. Right? It's all for show. Jesus didn't make a show. He knew they were mourning in their hearts. He knew what they had lost. He takes that little girl by the hand and he says, "Child, I say to you, arise." And she arose. That's all it took. The little girl got up and she walked. Mark 5 verse 42. It says, "Immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were completely astounded." The Matthew account, or the Luke 8 account, Luke 8, 55, Jesus gave orders for her to be given something to eat. You know what I take out of this is apparently being dead takes a lot out of you. He says in verse 55, he gave orders. He didn't say when you get the chance. He gave orders for something to be given her to eat. Jairus and his wife were amazed. Jairus and her wife were amazed. The account we just read in Mark 5, they were completely astounded, it says. Jesus turned a funeral into a celebration. Luke 8:56 says they were amazed. Jairus' daughter would have seen her parents amazed at what God had done. Our children need to see us amazed at the blessings God has bestowed on us. Our children need to see us amazed at the things He pulls us out of and rescues us from. Our children need to see us amazed at all that God has done for us in our lives. Every first day of the week as we partake of the memorial, they ought to see us amazed at the great love God bestowed on mankind, that He sent His only Son to be the great physician, to be that healer. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, by His stripes we are healed. Our children need to see us amazed at what God has done. And our God is an amazing God. I want us to read Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Paul said, God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we are able to ask or think. He says, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all the generations forever and ever. Amen. That word that he uses for far more abundantly, that just doesn't really spell out what the Greek word there means. The Greek word is hooper, and it means super abundant. I wish the modern English translation said, now to Him who is able to do far more super abundantly than all that we are able to ask or think. It means super abundant. He's able to do for us far beyond what we're able to ask or think. Think of that in the context of what we just read with Jairus. He went to Jesus begging Him fervently to come heal his sick daughter. A daughter that he recognized was at the point of death. And Jesus said, believe. Have a little more faith than that. Believe and she'll be made well. Jesus had a lot more in mind than just healing. He could have just spoken it. He didn't have to go to his house. But Jesus went into the man's house to meet the little girl face to face, that he might do for them far more abundantly than what the man originally went to ask for. That he might raise that little girl from the dead. Jairus and his wife were amazed, were told they were completely astonished at what God did for them. And their faith was rewarded. You know, when Jairus' daughter was made alive and well, she would have seen her father's love for her. To have that tale recounted of what he had to do to bring Jesus into his home. His faith in Jesus. To believe, as Jesus said, to have the Master follow him into his house. And his ability to be amazed by the blessings of God. She would have seen all of that. Our children need to see those same qualities in us. To see us praise God. For us to thank Him for what He has done and to be amazed. Our children need to see us thank God for the blessings that He has provided and all that He has done. To see us put in practice Colossians 3 and verse 17. Where we give thanks to Him for everything. They need to see that God comes first in our lives in everything. True love for our children is not to buy them the newest and greatest things. It's not to get them that pony. True love for our children is to bring them to Jesus. This man went to great lengths to make sure Jesus came face to face with his little girl. What do we do in our lives to make sure our children come face to face with Jesus? What do we do to make sure we bring Jesus into our homes? That our children see His influence in all that we say and do, whatever we do in word or deed, as Colossians 3:17 says. It's not the newest and greatest tech toys. Great love for our children is to bring them to Jesus. Jairus' daughter would have seen that it was so important to her father that he was willing to do anything to bring Jesus into his home. Luke 8:41, this ruler of the synagogue, this religious leader, fell at the feet of Jesus and begged Him earnestly. We need to sometimes fall at the feet of Jesus. We need to fall at His feet, getting rid of whatever pride would have kept us from going there. Fall at His feet. 1 Peter says we can lay at His feet all our cares, all our anxieties, knowing because He cares for us in 1 Peter chapter 5. Jairus' daughter would have seen that it was so important to her father that he would do anything to make sure Jesus came into his home. The question before us this morning for parents is, what do your children see as important to you? And if you're not parents yet, what priorities have you begun to set What influence have you already begun that others can see in you? What do your children see as important to you? Can they see your love? Not just in word, but can they see it in action? Can they see your faith in God? And out of that faith, can they see your amazement at God? Do they see you praise Him and thank Him openly for the things that He has done? For the prayers that He has answered? Our children need to see us be amazed at God, as Jairus' daughter did in her parents. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to be. To repent of your sins and to be baptized. To rise out of the waters knowing what Jesus has done for you to make you a new creature, that you might thank Him, that you might fall at His feet, giving Him all praise, thanks, honor, and love that's due Him. If you are a Christian this morning and err, not living the way that you should, you need to be asking, what do others see in you? What do they see as your priorities? Can they see your love, not only for your children, but for God? Can they see your faith in God? Can they see you being amazed at what God has done for you in your life? If not, you need to repent and be renewed. And if we can assist you in anything this morning, prayers of the congregation or the waters of baptism, come forward now, let it be known while we stand and sing.